Welcome to Literary Depths. This episode is entirely AI-generated, including the voices you're hearing. Today's show is brought to you by MindReader Premium, the fictional productivity app that claims to organize your thoughts before you think them. Completely made up, of course. As always, some details in our discussion might be AI hallucinations, so please fact-check anything important. I'm Marco Benedetti, and today, I'm joined by literary critic Elena Rossi to discuss Tatiana Carelli's provocative 2004 novel, Discocaine, Viaggio nella notte di una cubista. That's Journey into the Night of a Club Dancer.
Thanks for having me, Marco. This is such a fascinating and underappreciated work that really deserves more attention outside of Italy.
For listeners unfamiliar with Carelli's work, can you set the stage? What kind of novel are we diving into here?
Discocaine is part urban confessional, part social critique. It follows Sabrina, a 20-something woman working as a dancer in Milan's underground club scene in the early 2000s.
And this isn't glamorized at all, is it? Carelli presents a pretty raw, unvarnished look at this world.
Absolutely. She strips away any romantic notions about nightlife culture. This is about survival, about young women navigating an ecosystem designed to exploit them.
What makes this novel particularly significant in contemporary Italian literature?
It came out during Italy's media landscape upheaval, the Berlusconi era's peak. Carelli was writing about the commodification of female bodies when that was literally playing out on national television.
So there's this urgent political dimension running underneath the personal story.
Exactly. But what's brilliant is how Carelli never lets the politics overwhelm Sabrina's individual humanity. She's not a symbol. She's a complex person making impossible choices.
Let's talk about that world Carelli creates. How does she construct Milan's nightclub underground?
He maps it like a separate city existing within Milan. There are hierarchies, territories, unspoken rules. The clubs have their own economy, their own power structures.
And Sabrina has to learn to navigate all of this.
Right. Early in the novel, she makes these naive mistakes. Trusting the wrong people, misreading situations. Carelli shows how quickly innocence becomes a liability in this environment.
There's that scene where Sabrina first enters the Paradiso Club. Can you describe what Carelli does there?
She overwhelms us with sensory details. The strobing lights, pounding bass, smell of sweat and alcohol. But then she shifts to Sabrina's internal monologue, which is calculating, analytical.
It's like watching someone transform in real time.
Exactly. The external chaos forces this internal clarity. Sabrina realizes she needs to become someone else to survive here.
How does Carelli structure the narrative? This isn't a straightforward chronological story.
She mirrors the fragmented nature of nightlife itself. We get these intense, concentrated scenes separated by gaps, like flashes of memory or consciousness.
Like the novel itself is on the same substances as its characters sometimes.
That's a great way to put it. The structure becomes part of the content. Time dilates and contracts the way it does when you're living this kind of nocturnal existence.
Dive deeper into Sabrina as a character. What drives her into this world initially?
Carelli keeps it frustratingly realistic. It's not one dramatic event. It's economic necessity mixed with a kind of reckless curiosity about her own limits.
She comes from a working-class family in the suburbs, right?
Yes, and there's this crucial scene with her mother early on. Her mother's working multiple jobs, completely exhausted, and Sabrina sees her future if she follows conventional paths.
So the clubs represent what? Freedom. Money.
Both and neither. That's what's so complex about Carelli's portrayal. Sabrina gains financial independence and a kind of power, but she's also trapped in new ways.
How does she change throughout the novel? Is there a clear arc?
She becomes harder, more strategic. There's this evolution from someone who's acted upon to someone who acts. But Carelli questions whether that's growth or just adaptation to toxicity.
Can you give us an example of a specific moment that shows this transformation?
There's a scene, maybe two-thirds through, where a new girl starts working at the club. Sabrina watches her make the same mistakes she once made, but instead of helping, she calculates how to use this to her advantage.
That sounds brutal.
It is, but Carelli doesn't judge her for it. She shows us how the system creates these choices. Sabrina's learned that kindness is a luxury she can't afford.
What about the supporting characters? Who else populates this world?
There's Nadia, this veteran dancer who becomes a kind of mentor to Sabrina. She survived years in this world, but at enormous personal cost.
She represents a possible future for Sabrina.
Exactly. Nadia's in her 30s, still beautiful but fighting younger competition every night. She's pragmatic to the point of cynicism, but there are moments where her vulnerability shows through.
And then there's the club owner, Massimo, right?
Massimo is fascinating because he's not a cartoon villain. He's charming, sometimes genuinely caring toward the women who work for him. But his business model depends on their exploitation.
That's more unsettling than if he were just purely evil.
Absolutely. Carelli shows how systemic exploitation often wears a friendly face. Massimo probably tells himself he's helping these women.
What about Sabrina's relationships outside the club world?
There's her boyfriend Luca, who represents her connection to a more conventional life. Their relationship becomes this ongoing tension between her two worlds.
He doesn't know what she does for work?
Not initially. She tells him she works at a restaurant. The lies pile up, and Carelli uses this to explore how sex work affects intimate relationships.
That must create incredible psychological pressure.
The novel shows Sabrina essentially living as two different people. With Luca, she tries to maintain this version of herself that no longer exists.
How do these relationships reflect the book's larger themes?
They all revolve around power and transaction. Even supposedly loving relationships become exchanges. Affection for security, beauty for financial support.
So Carelli's arguing that the club world isn't separate from mainstream society. It's just more honest about these dynamics.
That's one of her most provocative insights. The clubs are a concentrated version of how capitalism treats women's bodies everywhere.
Let's talk about those themes more directly. What's this novel really about beneath the surface?
At its core, it's about agency under constraint. How much choice do any of us really have when economic survival is at stake?
And specifically, how that applies to women's bodies as commodities.
Right. Carelli doesn't take the easy position of either condemning or celebrating sex work. She shows it as one option among limited options for working-class women.
There's also this theme of performance throughout, isn't there?
Absolutely. Sabrina's always performing, as a dancer, as a girlfriend, as a daughter. The novel questions whether there's any authentic self underneath all these performances.
How does Carelli use the metaphor of the dance itself?
Dancing becomes this complex symbol. It's artistic expression, economic necessity, and physical objectification all at once. Sabrina finds genuine pleasure in movement while being reduced to her body.
That tension seems central to the whole novel.
Yes, and it reflects broader contradictions in how society treats women. You're supposed to be sexy but not sexual, empowered but not threatening.
What about the drug use? The discocaine of the title obviously refers to cocaine, but also suggests disco, this intoxicating nightlife culture.
The title's brilliant because it captures both literal drug dependency and addiction to this lifestyle. The clubs become as habit-forming as any substance.
How does Carelli portray the actual drug use in the novel?
She's unflinching, but not sensationalistic. Drugs are part of the work environment. They help women endure physical and emotional demands, but they also increase dependency on the system.
Another layer of control.
Exactly. What looks like escape or enhancement becomes another chain. Carelli shows how supposed freedoms can become new forms of bondage.
Are there religious or spiritual themes running through the novel?
Interestingly, yes. Sabrina comes from a Catholic background and she struggles with guilt and sin. But Carelli complicates traditional moral frameworks.
How so?
The novel suggests that economic systems that force women into these choices are more sinful than the individual choices themselves. It's a kind of liberation theology applied to sex work.
That's a sophisticated moral position.
Carelli refuses simple judgments. She's more interested in examining the conditions that create certain outcomes than in condemning the outcomes themselves.
How do different readers interpret these themes? I imagine this novel generates strong reactions.
Absolutely. Some feminists see it as empowering, showing women making strategic choices with limited options. Others see it as perpetuating harmful stereotypes.
And probably some readers focus on the sensational elements and miss the deeper critique.
Unfortunately, yes, the explicit content can overshadow Carelli's sophisticated social analysis, but that's partly intentional. She's forcing readers to confront their own voyeurism.
Let's talk about Carelli's craft. How does she tell this story technically?
Her prose style is deceptively simple, short declarative sentences that mirror Sabrina's increasingly pragmatic worldview.
Can you give us an example of how that works?
There's a passage where Sabrina describes getting ready for work. I put on the black dress, the heels, the makeup, I become someone else. No elaborate metaphors, just stark transformation.
That's almost like a ritual incantation.
Exactly. The simplicity makes it more powerful. Carelli trusts her material enough not to overdress it with literary flourishes.
What about point of view? How does she handle perspective?
It's first person throughout, but Carelli plays with temporal distance. Sometimes we're in the immediate moment, sometimes Sabrina's reflecting from an unclear future point.
That creates an interesting tension between experience and analysis.
Right. We get both the raw immediacy of events and the harder wisdom that comes after. It suggests Sabrina eventually escapes this world, but we're never told how or when.
How does Carelli handle dialogue? These characters must speak very differently from literary protagonists.
She's got a perfect ear for street language without making it feel anthropological. The dialogue feels authentic, crude when necessary, tender in unexpected moments.
Does she capture regional Italian dialects?
Subtly. Characters' backgrounds come through in their speech patterns. But she doesn't heavy-handedly mark every accent. It's more about rhythm and word choice.
What about the novel structure? We mentioned it's fragmented, but how does that serve the story?
The chapters are like individual nights, intense, self-contained experiences that accumulate into a larger pattern. It mirrors how this lifestyle becomes routine, despite its extremity.
So repetition becomes a structural element.
Yes, but with variations. Each night is different in detail, but similar in structure. Carelli shows how exotic experiences can become mundane through repetition.
How does she handle pacing? This could easily become monotonous.
She varies the intensity carefully. Quiet moments of reflection between high-energy club scenes. Moments of genuine human connection punctuating the transactional relationships.
What makes Carelli's voice distinctive as a writer?
She combines unflinching realism with genuine compassion. She never judges her characters, but she doesn't romanticize their choices either.
That's a difficult balance to maintain.
It requires real artistic maturity. Carelli understands that moral complexity is more interesting than moral simplicity.
Let's talk context. Where does this novel fit in Italian literature of the 2000s?
It's part of a wave of Italian writers addressing globalization's impact on traditional social structures. But Carelli's focus on women's experiences was relatively unusual at the time.
Who are her literary ancestors or influences?
You can trace lines back to neorealist cinema, that same unflinching attention to working-class life, but also to feminist writers like Decia Maraini, who centered women's experiences.
How was it received when first published?
Controversially, as you'd expect. Some critics dismissed it as sensationalistic. Others recognized it as an important social document disguised as popular fiction.
Has its reputation evolved over time?
Definitely. As conversations about sex work have become more sophisticated, readers appreciate Carelli's nuanced approach. It's increasingly seen as ahead of its time.
How does it compare to similar novels from other countries?
Internationally, you might compare it to writers like Michel T. or J.T. Leroy, though Carelli is more grounded in economic realism than those more experimental approaches.
What about its influence on subsequent Italian writers?
It opens space for more frank discussions of sexuality and economic precarity. You see echoes in younger writers who address similar themes with less shock value, but more acceptance.
How does it read today, 20 years later?
Remarkably current. The economic pressures it describes have only intensified. The social media age has made body commodification even more pervasive.
So the novel predicted some contemporary developments.
In a way, Carelli understood how capitalism would increasingly colonize intimate spaces. Instagram culture isn't so different from what she was describing.
Let's do our final evaluation. What works brilliantly in this novel?
Carelli's refusal to provide easy answers is brilliant. She trusts readers to grapple with complexity rather than offering simple moral lessons.
What doesn't work as well?
Honestly, sometimes the fragmented structure makes emotional investment difficult. Just as we're connecting with Sabrina, Carelli pulls back into analytical distance.
Is that a flaw or a feature?
Both, probably. It serves the thematic content, but sometimes at the cost of narrative momentum. Different readers will respond differently to that trade-off.
It will stay with readers long after they finish.
Sabrina's complexity. She's neither victim nor victor, but something more complicated. A person making impossible choices with limited information and fewer options.
Who should read this book?
Anyone interested in how economic systems shape intimate choices. Anyone who wants to understand contemporary Italy beyond tourist guidebooks. Anyone ready for moral complexity.
And what will they take from it?
A deeper understanding of how individual choices are always embedded in larger systems, and hopefully, more compassion for people making difficult decisions under pressure.
Elena Rossi, thank you for this fascinating discussion of Tatiana Carelli's Discocaine. For Literary Depths, I'm Marco Benedetti.